So I did this article. I've been talking about the McCloskeys a little bit. Because, you know, Eric, you and I are both lawyers. I'm a plaintiff's lawyer. You're a plaintiff's lawyer, but more of a criminal defense lawyer. You know, bad lawyers in our business give lawyers a bad name, both on the, as a personal injury lawyer or as a criminal defense lawyer. There's jokes made out of us as our profession because of bad lawyers. And one of the things we do is try to protect our profession. So anyway, from that point of view, I've been talking about the McCloskeys. I'm not trying to judge, you know, any of this other stuff. I am a little bit. But anyway, but here's one question that I had for you. We can get into the McCloskeys and your views on it, but I wanted to know from the legal side, what this castle doctrine that I hear about, the governors talked about it in Missouri, et cetera, from the legal side, let's move away from the politics side, but from the legal side, can you talk to us about the castle doctrine? Sure. What is it and what does it mean?
So if you, and here's the, you know, legal jargon, if you reasonably believe that using physical force is necessary to prevent destruction of your property or theft or a crime committed in your property against you or towards your property, you can use physical force. The question is, what's a reasonable belief? And, you know, it's, that's an interesting case. It's one that I can see from both sides, you know, and it is unfortunately a little bit political, a little bit, but, I mean, the question is, do you reasonably believe that the use of force or the threat of force is necessary to prevent a crime being committed against you, your property? And if that's the case, you know, you can use the physical force. It's this case, there's a lot of gray area to it.
Is that in a statute? Is that a criminal statute?
Yeah, it's Section 563.041, the use of physical force in defense of your property.
So, but if like, for instance, if these, if the people you're afraid of aren't on your property, if they're on a street, you can't invoke it.
That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know exactly, you know, listen, I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened.
No, I know, but I use it, but it seems like from the way you said it, it's that if they're on your property, not like in the street. You know, I can't pull out a gun because someone three blocks away is yelling at me. Right?
I think on that side, the argument's that they're not on your property. So why do you feel like force is necessary to defend your property if they're not on there? And I see that. All law aside, I just think the reason charges were filed, their general conduct, you know, it's just not a good look. It's not. And, you know, a lot of times lawyers, their understanding of the law, you know, they'll get a big head. They'll be very confident in what they're able to do, despite it seeming like conduct other people won't like. They'll want to act in a certain way because they know the situation and the law behind it. You know, I see this thing kind of from both sides. I don't think it was appropriate the way that they handled themselves. However, that being said, you know, they do believe that the way they were acting was appropriate in light of the circumstances under the law. There's a lot of aggressive lawyering going on both sides. It's just a very interesting case. Typically these things are resolved when it's nonviolent through simple plea negotiations. However, the fact that we're talking about lawyers here, I don't think that there's any easy way out for either party. And, you know, they hired excellent criminal defense attorneys to represent them. They're doing a great job, you know, and we'll just have to, I'm interested to see how it shakes out.
You think that case is going to go to trial?
I don't think that they're, I'll put it this way. I mean, yeah, I don't see them pleading guilty to UUW. Unlawful use of a weapon.
Maybe on like the day after the election on November 4th, no one will care anymore and it'll all go away. Either the prosecutor won't care or the McCloskeys won't care. I don't know.
I think the McCloskeys are, you know, from what I understand, they're probably in it to win it. I think that there was like I think that they're probably, I think I've heard that they're being offered diversion, but diversion would require you more than likely to plead guilty to the charges. And I think it's a, pride thing to an extent. I don't see this getting resolved very easily or anytime soon.
Did you read that article about all the lawsuits they filed in the past and all that?
Yeah. And like, you know, there's a, you know, it is, it's a mess. I mean, you know,
A friend of mine wrote that article. His kids and my kids, you know, that is the most read and downloaded article in the history of STLtoday.com. Isn't
you know,
that crazy?
A lot of people have taken a lot of interest in this, you know. You know, my thing is this, it's not that I'm not interested in it, but I mean, when did this incident happen? Was it like July or August?
Yeah.
You know,
June, I think. June, and then it got rehashed, and then they've been riding this train for a long time.
Yeah, and like, you know, I just think it's kind of like, I just think people, it's a distraction. I think, you know, how many homicides did we have in St. Louis City in July? I mean, just in the city, it was over 50 people. One of my clients, you know, his first cousin was having to be one of the bodies out there, an 18-year-old kid. And another client's brother, you know, and that's
how many thousands of people have died from Corona since then? My Lord.
80,000, yeah.
Whatever.
We got a situation.
You're right. You know, that's why it's being used. It'd be a distraction from what's really going on.
It's people are agitated, but they're all still here. They're all still alive. Everyone involved in that situation is doing just fine physically, but I think people are very entertained by it, you know?